The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Today is publication day for the latest instalment in the Skullduggery Pleasant series of books. The new one is in my hands. It's called A Soul Full of Shadows, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by the creator of the best-selling series, the author and screenwriter, Derek Landy. Hello, Derek.
Hello there.
I reminded you when you walked in that we met 20 years ago, I think.
Right.
At the very start of the Skullduggery Pleasant Road. And a lot of water has passed under the bridge since then.
Yeah. And that was a blur. It was a huge adjustment to try to get ready for my new life and, you know, my new way of doing things and appearing on radios and TV and all of that stuff and being interviewed.
Because writing this is one thing, but having to go out and promote it, I imagine, is quite a different discipline.
You don't write a book in order to promote it.
Yeah.
You don't write a book in order to be interviewed. And you don't write a book in order to be recognized. And yet these things, if you're lucky, if you're very, very lucky, these things do happen. This is not the objective.
Yeah.
And so there is a certain skill set to being interviewed and to being on tour and to meeting people and to interacting with either readers or interviewers or whatever else. And there's a certain skill set that you're not trained in how to do it. So when you start off, you have no idea if you're going to be any good. And the publisher they're just like crossing their fingers and hoping you're not one of these people who will freeze and, you know, find, you know, like awkward silences just full of you knows and likes. And, you know,
there's a lot of, it's topical at the moment. Like we had the Chapel Roan story this week where she was, it was a security guard really who was accused of a pretty unpleasant interaction with a fan. But she has made it clear that, I'm not crazy about the fan side of things. I do my music, but fans don't have a right to me.
Yeah, it's, and like when she first emerged, I heard her state that, okay, if you see me, if you're a fan and you see me on the street, do not approach me. I'm not your friend. I don't know you. You know, please keep a distance. And at the time, I thought, that's good. She is setting down the boundaries and, you know, whatever else. But there is a give and take when you're dealing with the people who read your stuff or listen to your stuff, and you owe them. And, you know, you just got to be nice to people, Chapel. That's my advice.
Yeah, and it's very basic, you know, but I think you're absolutely right. Just be nice and be decent and be kind. When you started this, was it always the plan that it would be the series that you would be sitting here all these years later with this book?
No, when I started it, first of all, I didn't have a book deal. So I just wrote it because this was an idea that hit and that stayed with me. And so, but I wrote it with the idea that, okay, if this does get picked up, there is an avenue for sequels. So by the time I finished it, and by the time I met with my publisher, HarperCollins, which was about a break of about 3 weeks, when I realized that people were interested, I started to go, okay, they're going to want to know my overall plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down my plan for the sequels, and originally it was 9 books long. And when HarperCollins asked me, do I have an idea for a series, I said, yep, it's going to be 9 books. And their eyes lit up and they smiled because they're, you know, 9 books, wonderful. By the time I got to book 7, I realized that the series would go on. A poor time management on my part. I could not wrap it up in the next 2 books. So then I realized, okay, so it'll go on for another 6. And then by the time I was halfway through, that was going, okay, there. Basically, if you write a long-running series with characters that evolve and storylines that evolve, you shouldn't be surprised if it keeps evolving. So I had no idea that I would be here with book 18 of the core series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think book 21 or 22 of the overall series.
Extraordinary.
But yeah.
And is the core, I mean, I don't know, if you can answer this, but where are we with this? Is this the end?
My, okay, I'm not going to tell people when it's the final book. If I tell people this is the final one, they will be picking it up going, okay, oh my God, I'm going to have to prepare myself because Derek is going to kill my favorite character, right? Or so they're going to steel themselves for the trauma they are about to face. If I tell them this isn't the final book, they will be picking it up going, okay, I can relax into this. Nothing too bad is going to happen. So when the final book happens, they're not going to know until they hit the final page.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is my approach.
Can you keep those kind of secrets anymore?
I've been keeping Skullduggery secrets for 20 years.
Successfully.
Yeah. And it's, there are
no little pests online.
Some of them do guess roughly. And the first time it happened, I panicked and I thought, okay, someone is seeing the avenue I'm going down. So am I going to have to change my overall plot, my overall plan? But then I realized if someone online can guess what you're going to do, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story, when it's all finished, you should be able to look back on it and go, okay, well, obviously it moved from here to here to here. And so it's a logical progression of character and plot and logic. And so if someone guesses where I'm going, that's only a good thing.
Derek, a listener says you were so kind to their two daughters at a signing in Easton's a few years ago. Despite the enormous queue, he gave them as much time as they needed. He answered all of their questions. He put up the pictures they drew for him on his Instagram page, and his books will stay with them for the rest of their lives. Isn't that lovely?
It's absolutely. When my signings go on for hours, and for anyone who is about to bring their kids to a signing, be prepared to wait, because I've seen signings, I've seen writers who have a queue of people and they barely look up. They just sign and there you go.
Yeah.
And if you have a kid who is into reading and they need every encouragement they can possibly get, and if they finally meet the person that who they adore, who writes the book they love, and if they are dismissed, if they're not, you know, if they're not seen.
But also you have readers who've grown up with you and with these characters,
yes.
You know, and that's, I'm sure that's on your mind as well when you're meeting them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, on a very superficial side, almost skin deep, there are people with tattoos of my characters. There are people with tattoos of quotes from my books. Some people, they've got me to sign their skin and then they've gone to the tattoo artist and they've had them like tattoo my signature onto their skin.
Are you okay with that?
That's awfully, that's a lot of pressure to not like mess up in future. But then you have the people, you know, who will come to a signing and they'll say, we met in this queue last year and now we're going out. And then you'll meet them and at another signing, we are now married. Then you'll meet them. This is our child. And they will show me the baby that they have made that only exists because they were standing.
Yeah. Yes.
And yet none of them have called their kid Derek. I do not know why. I'm insulted. I mean, they owe me a name.
I think there must be a baby out there.
They have to be. Who's born named of, after me, for God's sake.
Born of two Skullduggery readers whose name is Derek, or at least a second name, Derek. It has to be.
I mean, for God's sake, it's the least they can do. They owe me their child.
And when you are thinking about writing, I was intrigued by this. You like silence.
Yes.
Like, I would have thought writers read a lot. Well, we know writers read a lot, but also listen a lot. Now we have audiobooks and podcasts and so on. But you need that quiet time, do you, just to explore what's going on in your own head?
Yes. There is an astonishingly neglected attribute that people have, and it's the capability to be bored. And so I do not listen to music when I'm driving. I don't listen to podcasts. I need to be in a space where I can be bored. I need to be in a space where my thoughts do not have to, are not snagged by something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's boredom that fuels creativity in every aspect of life. The issue, I'm not one of these people, you know, who will complain about the youth of today and, you know, oh, the, you know, they don't understand. But people in general no longer allow themselves to be bored. And that is to our detriment, I think.
Killing creativity?
Yes. Yeah. So silence and boredom and peace and quiet, where you're just alone with your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
I think it's essential.
I'm looking at you, I'm taking all of this in as someone who jumps from the radio to a podcast to an audio book every second. That is good advice, Derek. Thank you so much for coming in. It's a real pleasure to see you again.
Yes,
we won't leave
yes.
it as long the next time. Derek Landy's new Skullduggery Pleasant book is out. It's called A Soul Full of Shadows, but for the people who met in the queue, they won't need to know that because they already have that information. And we're looking for baby Derek as well. That's also on the plan. What's the worst that can happen in A Soul Full of Shadows? Find out in all good bookshops now. Derek, thank you so much. Continued success.
Much.
We'll take a break.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.